So this is Dr. Nick. I'm here live at HIMSS 2019, and I'm live streaming on Healthcare Now Radio and Health Innovation Media. We're on booth 3345, and it's so exciting to have another physician. We're on a physician roll, I'm
that
just going to say.
The way it should be, right?
It really should. Bam. And I'm joined by Dr. Razu Shrestha. He is, and I would have said something else, but I'm not going to. He has a new job, so I'm going to let him tell us. It's really exciting. I think you're like single-digit days or something into this. So, Razu, thanks for joining us. Tell us what's going on.
Absolutely. So after 12 years in Pittsburgh, where I was last the chief innovation officer, I transitioned over to a new role, and I'm now the Chief Strategy Officer at Atrium Health. This is day 12, also the magic 12 number.
Oh,
today.
So it was double digits. I was close, but wrong.
You were very close.
I think maybe I saw you like 3 days ago.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So Chief Strategy Officer for Atrium Health, which is the Carolinas healthcare system, 50 hospitals across North and South Carolina, just acquired a new hospital group in the Georgia area, Navicent Health, and a health system that really already has tremendous impact across the community, so much potential in terms of innovation and investment, but reinventing the future of healthcare. So could not be more excited to be part of the Atrium Health family.
It's very cool. And, you know, the other thing that's kind of neat about this for me, because as I think back to history, I want to say we met because of speech recognition. I think you jumped into that UPMC role.
Yeah.
I was involved in that. Yeah. That was really part of the history. And you were heavily involved in speech at the time.
Absolutely, I was. I remember even back in the Los Angeles days, before I moved to not-so-sunny Pittsburgh from Southern California.
Did you just declare not-so-sunny Pittsburgh?
Well, look.
This is live stream, you know.
Look, I'm all about the reality of how things are. And I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was home for me for the last 12 years.
Who do you support?
The Steelers, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, but I know my second favorite team now.
Oh,
the Carolina Panthers. Right. So before I moved to Pittsburgh, I'd been involved in really pushing speech recognition, speech technologies forward, really
right.
Not just in terms of championing the workflows, but the specific aspects of the technological frameworks of what it means to leverage speech in the everyday challenges that we have as busy clinicians and radiologists in particular in the embrace of speech technologies. And, you know, it's like Groundhog Day all over again, because these newer technological capabilities keep on coming up, and now we have other things like AI and machine learning and deep learning and so much more, blockchain, my goodness, all these capabilities that I think scream at us and call our attention. But for folks like you and I who are grounded in our clinical backgrounds, I think it's really important for us to understand what it means to really leverage these technologies to make meaningful impact on the ground, not just latch on to a buzzword and put a check mark on that checkbox saying, yes, we have AI. Right?
So, we do.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So long experience, lots of innovation in your previous role. What are you looking forward to? So you're obviously at HIMSS, you're looking around. I know it's early days, but you obviously didn't walk into this job going, okay, what's going on? You've got lots of thoughts and ideas. Tell us a little bit about what you're thinking about, where this is going to go. What are the opportunities from your perspective?
So it's really interesting. I mean, look, it's 12 days into my new role, and I'm not one to jump in and say, here's how things need to be done, because this is what I know can be done. You got to contextualize the specifics of the organization that you're with. There are reasons behind why decisions, a lot of them great decisions, have been made over time, right? So that's where I'm at, is I'm understanding the specifics of the organization that I now belong to and the opportunities and the challenges that exist out there. But I'm going in also with specific guidelines and frameworks that I know need to be embraced. For example, I think it's really important, and this is generally speaking across the industry, it's important for us to bust those silos, right? Silo busting, I think, is number one.
So did anything happen this week that maybe helped with the silo busting?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I think all of these nudges that are happening, and sometimes they're more than nudges. Right?
I just want to say incremental.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Steps?
That's right, Nick. Your old mantra, again, holds true and holds
there,
water.
Right? Yeah.
So silo busting is important. Number two, I think it's important once we bust those silos to build those bridges, right? proudly coming from Pittsburgh after having spent 12 years there. You've got to build more bridges. And whether it's bridges across those silos that we've referenced in the past or bridges across partnerships that need to be meaningful across the industry, bridges between not just healthcare but other industries outside of healthcare even, public-private policy, all of those intersections where it's really at the confluence of those intersections that you achieve meaningful change. And then the third element really is understanding the culture of the organization, or any organization for that matter, and getting culture right. So those are the three, I'd say, guiding principles with which I'm looking at the opportunities at hand.
So you've got a big portfolio, there's lots going on. If you were to pick, you know, those nudges or incremental for somebody else, you know, that maybe doesn't have, you know, the resources available, what would you start with? Where would you sort of pick your initial focus?
I think we're fortunate to be at a time in the journey through healthcare where we have all of these digital assets all around us. We're also fortunate to be in a time in our journey through healthcare where there are actually meaningful partnership opportunities where, regardless of where you are in that spectrum of capability and spectrum of size and scope around your specific organization, you have the opportunity to really take advantage of all of the different advancements that have been made around you through the power of meaningful partnerships, and really accelerate yourself and catch up with and potentially be able to then overtake even the others around you, right? But it really then boils down to the specifics of how you look at partnerships, finding the right, not just technologies, but the right willing partners with the right sense of urgency, with the right sense of shared values to you, the institution, and getting stuff done.
Yeah, so that's a recurring theme, certainly online. I know you participate. You're a big sort of, you're a social media ambassador. It's that community that brings us all together.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Very excited about that. I know you're a busy guy. I just really appreciate you taking
Thank
the time
you.
To yeah. stop by. I wish you the utmost of luck and good fortune in this new role. I'm excited to watch it and, you know, I'll tag along. I'm hanging on to the coattails occasionally with you. So thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nick. And, you know, the reality is that we're all in this together. It takes the power of partnerships and us elevating it to the umpteenth level for us to actually make meaningful change happen. So thank you, Nick.
All right. Thank you very much. That was Razu Shrestha, folks. Excited to have been able to grab him and nab him to come over and join the live stream. So very excited about that. So this is Dr. Nick. I'm live streaming from HIMSS 2019. I'm on booth 3345 with Health Innovation Media, and we're live streaming with Healthcare Now Radio. We've got several more exciting guests to come up, but Anish Chopra will be joining us shortly, but Fred has come back. He spent the last 30 minutes or so walking around the halls to find out what else is going on, what's been happening.
So I want to discuss something interesting that kind of exactly fits in with what Nuance is doing, what you've seen here and I've seen here at the booth, and that is we did our annual interview with Dr. Kaveh Safavi this morning, and he had a recent piece in Forbes where they asked him about what's coming. He talked about specifically machine learning, and he said this machine learning and AI is going to come into healthcare, and what it's going to do is create efficiencies. And those efficiencies are going to be where somebody can be examining a patient and talk them through the exam and not have to sit there and document the chart. He said, you know, it's very clear that when the EHRs came in, they created a 15% or so inefficiency in the clinical practice. So it's something, you know, we've
How
seen.
How much?
15% was his statement.
Wow.
And so
think about recovering all that amount of time, energy, resources, whatever that sort of equates to.
And as we've discussed a number of times, looking for, well, who's taking costs out of the system, that's the key. And so this is an example of that. It's a use of technology and IT to create the efficiencies. Yes, it'll improve quality and outcomes and patient satisfaction, but it's clearly going to also improve efficiencies.
All right. So thanks for filling in there, Fred. It's always good. See what else you can find out in the intervening time. In the meantime, we've had the fortune of picking up yet another physician. We're on a complete physician roll. I think we're, if we can go 100%, this will be a fantastic podcast. I'm just going to say, because I'm a little bit biased. So this is Dr. Nick. I'm the incrementalist. I'm live streaming from HIMSS 2019, booth 3345, Nuances booth, with Healthcare Now Radio. And I'm just delighted to be joined by Hal Baker, an old friend, physician, and a unique physician in that you still practice medicine, but you do something else on the side, right?
Yes, I work for WellSpan Health. We're in South Central Pennsylvania. We're a $2.7 billion integrated delivery network, and I'm the Chief Information and Senior Vice President of Clinical Improvement, which is quality and safety.
So not only did you take on the clinical side of things and, you know, the CMIO type typical role, but you've taken on full on all of the technology and the innovation in the facility.
Nominally, yes. So there's a lot of other people, obviously, and a great team there. But it's been a really interesting opportunity to try to bring the IT and the clinical purpose and the clinical caring together in an effective way, and try to make sure that the cool stuff that's being done becomes tools that really change people's lives and allow the humanity back in healthcare.
Yeah, so I know time is brief, and you know, I'm grateful that you made the time. I know you had the opportunity to go through the experience. I'm curious to get your sort of read and how you've seen that develop over the course of time with this sort of new innovation, new application of AI and speech in the healthcare setting.
Well, my favorite thing of this whole session has been seeing the ambient voice this year, and I've watched it from a fairly nascent product that was developed called Florence many years ago, and along the way, we've seen Siri and Alexa, but what the listeners probably can't appreciate is sitting in a room and watching a doctor interact with a patient. And I've watched it twice, and the narratives are different, mm-hmm. And it's not canned, it's not recorded, and it's not scripted. And seeing that pop up in remarkably accurate context of the verbal interaction, but then having it rendered into the medicalese necessary to support the billing and business of medicine. And I was reacting to why this year felt so much different than last year. In last year, like with Alexa or Siri, you had to say, hey, Alexa, hey, Siri, hey, Dragon. And the artificial intelligence was a bit jealous, a bit needy. It had to be remembered. It had to be called out. Now it just quietly slipped into the background, and there is constant eye contact between the patient and the provider. And, you know, in primary care, where I still practice, you know, every 9 seconds is 1% of the office visit. And if you think about that, 9 seconds, and it seems like not a lot to do some clicking around, but every time you take that attention to the computer, you're taking it away from the patient, and very few patients come out complaining that the doctor spent too much time with them.
And that reactivation, that's just an astounding statistic. So it's the passive nature of putting that technology into the room as it almost disappears and becomes a you know, part of the experience, but you don't know that it's there.
Right. There is no action of invoicing to the healthcare business that normally is an inevitable part of the encounter, because bills have to be paid, claims have to be submitted, and so there's a required specific syntax that has to be generated to allow a billable note. This allows that note to be rendered through a natural interview technique and doesn't rob any of that 15-minute time frame of the human interaction that really is the reason most caregivers went into healthcare.
All right, so I'm Dr. Nick. I'm the incrementalist. I'm live from HIMSS 2019. Just been talking with Hal Baker. I just want to thank you for making the time. Really appreciate it. I know you're exceptionally busy. It's been a great pleasure catching up. Thanks for stopping by.
Great to see you again.
So this is Dr. Nick. I'm the incrementalist. I'm here live at HIMSS 2019 with Healthcare Now Radio. and we are Health Innovation Media, and we're streaming live, and very excited to be joined by Anish Chopra. He is the president of Care Journey. Anish, thank you for making the time to come and join us.
Oh, I'm excited, and thanks for having me. So, what an exciting hymns.
It is, you know, it gets bigger and better, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen next year. So, I know you were on stage. I heard great things from some of the feedback and some of the interactions.
I think
people really liked, you know, the refreshing view. Part of that comes, and, you know, maybe not everybody knows your background, but it would be helpful just to get a little bit of perspective.
Sure.
As to how you got to this point on your healthcare journey and healthcare technology.
Yeah, so John Halamka, who we love in this industry, and I used to ride the M2 shuttle bus when I was a graduate student at Harvard.
No kidding, I did not know that.
And so I was a graduate student on the Kennedy School side. He was getting his MIT master's, and we were talking about how the internet would affect healthcare. And that idea has been nagging at me for years and years and years. I spent a decade at the advisory board company, wrote research studies on this topic of the internet and healthcare, and then spent a good chunk of time in the government. I was Virginia's Secretary of Technology, where healthcare IT was among the first priorities that the governor made on my purview. And then President Obama, in naming me Chief Technology Officer, made the healthcare IT portfolio a prominent part of the agenda. So this is something that I've been focused on. I'm so proud of what Governor Leavitt said yesterday at the very outset of our keynote. This has been a bipartisan endeavor.
Yeah.
While Washington is whipsaw on healthcare reform, and you're up, you're down, you're in, you're out, as to this issue, and I thought the visuals yesterday were so refreshing to have Republicans, Seema Verma and Governor Leavitt celebrate what we had done in the Obama administration, myself and Karen DeSalvo and many others. That's the point, that this happens to be the bipartisan focus and hope that if we get this right, it will truly unlock the conundrum around cost and quality that we have to tackle to make the country competitive in the next generation.
It's always extraordinary to me when you look at this and think about what you just said. The idea that, you know, healthcare affects us all. So many, I mean, it's a personal journey.
Yes.
And the idea that this even, you know, has the slightest sense of this split of views, how could we possibly be different in our viewpoints? We're all pulling for the same direction for our family, our parents, our children. So it's exciting that we do see a little bit more of that community. Tell us a little bit about some of the discussions that you had for those that, you know, people listening are in that panel. So I know there were some key points that came out.
I would say there were three things that came out of the panel that I think would be useful for the audience. One, through the fog and clouds, there's now certainty, I should say clear regulatory pathways, that the consumer has the right to their entire health record in a machine-readable format available to an application of their choice. And that just unequivocal statement when it comes to no fees, it's got to be machine-readable, it's got to be open APIs, it is just a clear bedrock principle.
Absolutely.
And that feels terrific. Second, it introduces the notion that health plans, who are heretofore exempt from any of these interoperability rules, they now have to step up and sort out how they're going to provide claims history and other care coordination services. So that just introduces the plans into the equation. And CMS is leading by example. That led to a chuckle in the room where Governor Leavitt said, we now have a government that has led the private sector in opening up data to consumers. And that made him set the mantra that it's now the private sector's time to come back.
Yep.
And then last but not least, I may refer to this as the net neutrality provision, which is all of the data holders, and that could be vendors, it could be health systems, doctor's offices, data holders understand that opening up this data will incur some cost, the infrastructure cost of API management, API gateways, and there is now a provision that allows them to recoup those costs, so there's an acknowledgement there. But, and this is why I think of it as net neutrality, the cost must relate to truly the cost structure associated, and that the value-added services, which are today bundled in how the data is used in the real world, now you have to compete on a level playing field, so you can't preferentially treat your app preference by access to the data versus a competitor's app. And that feels very net neutrality-esque, and that's very exciting for me that we've got a now a kind of a business model for the future of healthcare data, which is exciting all around.
Yeah, I can't, off the top of my head, I can't recall who coined net neutrality just in general, a core principle in terms of, sharing of information. But I love the idea from a healthcare standpoint, the idea that that's not the case is, just terrible.
That's right.
So a little bit of time left. Tell us what you're doing and, what's going on in your world. You've had a really exciting journey.
It's been a lot of fun.
But you're not finished.
No, look, I run a company called Care Journey, and ostensibly we focus on extracting insights from Medicare data to help payers, pharma companies, and providers understand their role in this move to value. That's the narrow focus, extracting insight out of the Medicare data for them. But more broadly, the dream is to be an operating system for health information fiduciaries. I believe there'll be a new crop of healthcare entities that are akin to what you do with Vanguard and Fidelity, where you entrust a human with your information and you develop a plan and you better navigate the financial options that are available to you. I believe a health information fiduciary might help you shop for a health plan, pick a primary care doctor, make judgments about whether and how you access the delivery system. And those folks are going to want to organize your health information, run some decision support. We ostensibly would like to be the operating system that would support said entity. Could it be a retailer? Could it be a pharma company? Could it be a doctor's office, an ACO, a health plan? I view it as all of the above. We'll see a competitive marketplace of organizations saying, entrust me with your data. We'll help you make better decisions. We just want to be the, call it the operating system inside to make sure that the information that they get is processed and used to understand the role that value care based care will make in their lives. So that's the hope.
So I love the concept, but I want to tweak you a little bit.
Please.
And say, you picked Vanguard specifically.
Yeah.
And they're out in a whole different zone when we talk about investment strategies.
I know.
And tracking and lower
yes.
costs. Do you see that as part of that picture? And maybe you as the Vanguard in this? What's
well, we don't want to be the service okay. delivery, but we hope that there will be Vanguard-like services
okay.
that will help you make smarter choices. Well, on any research study written about the efficacy of the decisions we make in healthcare, there's because of the information asymmetry, we find ourselves making less helpful decisions. People that pick plans often pay more than they
right.
should.
Yep.
People who pick primary care doctors often lack access to the services they're yep. entitled to, and on and on and on. So my presumption here is that I do hope Walmarts of the world, which are like Vanguard, may appear as partners in this journey, but there may also be premium healthcare delivery systems that say we want to do this just as well. So that, to me, is the big vision, that we're going to see a new market emerge of existing potential players as well as new entrants to say, let's help you. And if we remember that video game Frogger, where you're trying to safely navigate to the other side.
Before my time.
Exactly. Well, in theory, if we can help people navigate the delivery system a
right.
little bit smarter, we might actually get to a lower cost, higher value delivery system faster
yep.
than if we waited for every touch point in the system to improve its quality and outcomes.
So that's fantastic. I just want to say, also a recurring opportunity because it's every year. I know, because we all go through it,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
So it just remains to thank you for taking
thank
the
you.
Time. Really appreciate
My pleasure.
It. I know you're extremely busy. Thanks for joining me here on
I love it.
Healthcare
Thanks for
Network.
Having me. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, TheIncrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.